Tonight I am going to direct your attention to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're going to be cross-referencing a bit tonight. I'm not sure how much. This is one of these messages that the Lord just tells me to start. And then we'll see where he takes it. That used to bother me. But now I just enjoy the journey. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Psalm 78, if you are very familiar with it, it's really a recounting of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of the verses. You know the story pretty well, I believe. But we'll pick it up in verse number 12 of Psalm 78. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, caused waters to run down like rivers. Are you reading that with me tonight? Can we agree that what we just read, historical fact, these were not little things? Amen. These were God things. Big God things. Amen? So you would think, after seeing all of that come directly from the hand of God, these people would be saying, what a God! Woo, that's who we're serving! Not necessarily. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat for their lusts. Man, oh man. Yea, they spake against God when they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Tonight I'd like to preach a message for the next few moments entitled, Your Wilderness Wanderings. Your wilderness wanderings. Notice I did not say your husband's wilderness wanderings, your wife's wilderness, or your kids' wilderness wanderings. I'm talking about yours. It's easy to get so very judgmental at the children of Israel. How stupid could they be? How stubborn could they be? How sinful could they be? When the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, centuries have come and gone, and only the names have changed. We're still acting like that. We're still talking like that. And the reason I say your wilderness wanderings, it just seems like when it becomes ours, all of a sudden it's got our attention. Amen. We pray for other people and other folks going through stuff, but boy, when it's us, all of a sudden it's different. And I know this is the Wednesday night crowd, and just that fact would seem to communicate a little bit more of an idea of faithfulness and wanting to be under the Word a little bit more and all of that, and I commend you for it. But I don't care where you are in your walk with God, dear friend, listen to me. We are all one phone call away from a wilderness wandering. We're one pink slip away from a wilderness wandering. We're one prodigal away from a wilderness wandering. We're one doctor's report away from a wilderness wandering. I think of that family. I don't even know the boy that passed in the school, but I'm thinking about that phone call.
I'm thinking about that family. I'm thinking about a wilderness wandering right now going on. I echo what the pastor said. If you can possibly get here to support that family, that would be a godly thing to do. Amen. I mean, we all have them, don't we? Let's be honest. We all have wilderness wandering experiences. And so just three simple thoughts tonight. First of all, let's start with that question. Can God make a table in the furnish a table in the wilderness? You know, nothing limits the work of God so much in our lives as the question, can God? All too often we put God in the limited boundaries of our own human experience. And here's what happens. When we do that, we're trying to compress the God of this universe into a size that we can believe in. Can God? That's a question asked when a person has little or no faith. The children of Israel, like so many believers, they set boundaries upon God's omnipotence. You go a little bit further in that chapter, in verse 41, the scripture says they turned back and tempted God, and listen to this, limited the Holy One of Israel. I want you to get a hold of that tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's understandable when the worldly Egyptians don't believe. But I want to tell you, when God's people stop believing, whoo, that's dangerous right there. That's some dangerous stuff right there. Unbelief should never be allowed to possess us as people of God. We should never limit God because we just don't think He can help us in our particular situation. Yeah, God, I've heard them talk about what He's done for them. I've heard people give testimony to testimony time. But more, you just don't know. You don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know if He can do it right here. Whew. That's tough. And I don't want to belittle your wilderness wandering, but I also want to challenge you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those people who are limiting the Holy One of Israel. Amen? Because of my unbelief. Because of my lack of courage. The New Testament tells us that our Lord's miracle-working power was limited in Nazareth, where the Lord grew up, by unbelief. Matthew 13:58 says, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'm telling you, our lack of faith must sorely grieve the Holy Spirit. So let me first of all share with you tonight something simple. Believe in God, amen? Trust Him. Can He furnish a table in your wilderness? Can He meet your needs? Can He bring that prodigal back home? Can He mend that broken relationship? Can He heal your sick loved one? Can He hear your cries of loneliness and bring others into your life? I want to tell you tonight, yes, He can. Yes, He can. Same God who caused the sun to stand still for Joshua. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that's our God tonight. Amen. Joshua 10. Man, what a day. Sun stood still. He listened to the voice of a man. God fought for Israel. This is the same God who answered Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah 38 for a longer life and added 15 more years onto it. I want to tell you, that's God's stuff right there. Amen. That's my God. That's my King. And I want you to grab a hold of Him afresh and anew tonight. The same Jehovah God who sent fire down from heaven at the prayer of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. That's your God. That's my God. And it didn't go bankrupt at Mount Sinai. Amen. We need to be reminded sometimes, regardless of where our wilderness wanderings take us, that He can still furnish a table in the midst of the wilderness. Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the easy one. That's the one I thought you could probably understand and relate to, but gets a little more difficult here. We're not going to review anymore. We're going to go to the left and go to the book of Exodus and look in real time what was going on. Exodus 13, you know the story. All of the plagues, Moses being chosen, stubborn king. Finally, they've had enough. One more night with the frogs. Amen. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up and harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, can God furnish that table in the wilderness? He certainly can, but here's the second one. If you're a note taker, you need to jot this down. As he prepares you for that table, and as he prepares that table for you. Listen to me. The route that he takes you, almost without exception, is not going to be the route that you thought he was going to take you on. And all God's people say, we've experienced a little bit of that, haven't we? Man, oh man. The shortest way? Well, many times that's not the best way. Israel could have taken the shortest route to Canaan land, but would have brought them face to face with the Philistines if they had done that in about 4 or 5 days. God's way was much longer, but it was the best way for them to go. So God's going to take them a different route. Christian, can I say to you tonight, there isn't a shortcut to your spiritual growth either. A strong, spirit-filled life, armed with the weapons to defeat the enemy, Satan. You know where that comes from? It comes from overcoming some obstacles in your life. I'm going to share a statement with you, and this might upset some people's theology, but I believe it's true. When you first get delivered from the world through the cross, you're still no match for Satan. Let me say that again. When you first get delivered from the world through the cross, you're no match still for Satan. You have to take the long route. We're seeing it here because we, like Israel, listen, when they got free, listen, they were not seasoned warriors, okay? They're just slaves who got free. Are you hearing me? And I'm not belittling the miracle of grace and faith and being set free by God's redeeming grace. But if your greatest battles come early in your Christian life, you may find yourself languishing and defeated later on. So as God builds his soldiers, sometimes he will take you through the wilderness of trials, troubles, heartache, because it strengthens you for the greater wars which lie ahead. Friend, listen to me. Everything serves God's plan, even the sorrowful times. I don't believe at all that God sends the pain and sends the trouble and sends the trial just to teach us something. I believe a lot of sickness and other things that happen, that's just a result of living in a broken world. And it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Amen? That's just reality. But I will say this, God's not indifferent to that journey. He's not sleeping through that trial. And if you will allow him while you're there, he'll make you a better soldier because of it. Amen? But I know disappointments can cause a detour in your life. And if you're careful, you can become disappointed with God. You might even become depressed because it didn't work out. You might feel as though God thwarted your plans. And you wonder why. Such was the case with Oswald Smith. The year was 1920. The scene was the examining board for selecting missionaries. And standing before the board was a young man named Oswald Smith. One dream dominated his heart. He wanted to be a missionary. And over again he prayed, "Lord, I want to go as a missionary for you. Open a door of service for me." Now, at last, his prayer would be answered. And when the examination was over, the board turned Oswald Smith down because he did not meet their qualifications. He failed the test. Oswald Smith had set his direction, but now life gave him a detour. What would he do? And as Oswald Smith prayed, God planted another idea in his heart. If he could not go as a missionary, he would build a church that would send out missionaries. And that's exactly what he did. And Oswald Smith pastored the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, which sent out more missionaries than any other church at that time. Oswald Smith brought God into the situation, and God transformed his detour into a main thoroughfare of service. Are you hearing me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know where your wilderness wandering has taken you, and maybe it's just kind of beat you up, and maybe you're kind of losing confidence. You're kind of wondering, man, why didn't I even come tonight? I got so many other things going on in my life. Well, maybe God just sent me here to say, don't do that. Amen? God is not done with you. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And anything worth accomplishing is going to cost you something. It always is. It always will. So yeah, he can make that table in the wilderness. But boy, when the questions are many and the answers are few, that delay that you're experiencing, the betrayal, that door that was closed, what is going on? Particularly in our society, because we like everything automatic. I mean, we've lived by the microwave for years, right? Oh, man. Yeah, I got stuff to do. I just microwave it. And then came that Instapot. Remember that? Instapot. Oh, my. Woo! That didn't take near as long. Still tastes pretty good. Saved me some time. And then we got the air fryer. Woo, we love it. Well, let me let you in on something about our God. He's powerful enough to have the prayer answered before you even say amen. But our God, most of the time, is not an Instapot God. He's more of a crockpot God. I mean, man, there are just some times and seasons that you're just sitting in it, and you're thinking, good God, when is this going to end? This sickness, this financial struggle, my family, what is going on? You know, and sometimes our thoughts go from a crockpot God to a crackpot God. What were you thinking? I was going so good, and this step and that step, and I'm headed toward my goal, and it's got this detour on it. And it's, what were you thinking? Now, see the halo above each head, and I know nobody's had those thought patterns before here at Worth Baptist Church. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, you know what good soldiers need to do?
they have to endure some hardness. Amen. Sometimes that doesn't happen without some detours in your life. Man, well, I don't understand why that he's got to do it that way. Well, there's many, many reasons. I don't have time to go through them all, but one I think you'd probably recognize is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pick it up in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you realize that tonight? All true, lasting comfort comes from God, who comforted us all in our tribulation. Why? Lord, I don't want to go through this. I prayed for patience. I didn't pray for trials. But you don't get patience without them. Amen? But that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? Why? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Listen to me tonight. I know you know this. I know your preacher's a good preacher. He's covered these things before. But how in the world, ladies and gentlemen, is the church of the living God going to help people through their rough stuff if we never allow God to bring us through our rough stuff? Amen? I'm telling you, over all these decades of ministry, I've seen it time and time and time again. Many Christians, grounded Christians, been to church for years, have some measure of success, but all of a sudden they just fall off the wagon because they never got over the detour. They couldn't wait on God. And if you don't think that's a big problem, you don't know your Bible very well. Because until you've seen God work in the midst of hardship and in the heat of the battle and in the eye of the storm, you're not ready for the rigorous warfare of Canaan land. Friend, listen to me tonight. Israel had to fight the Amalekites before they were ready to face those fierce Philistine warriors. God had a sequence. God had a plan. And so, yeah, sure. He can make that road in the wilderness. But you've got to be willing to take your hands off and let him take you the direction he wants you to go instead of the one you thought he was going to take you on. Number three, we've been in the Old Testament. Let's move to the New for our last point here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last chapter penned by the Apostle Paul just prior to his execution. He shares many things with us. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Verse 2 tells us that. Time will come, they'll not endure doctrine after their own lust. Heap to themselves teachers, itching ears. You know that, you know it. It's happening. Amen. We're there. We're way in there. Turn away their ears from the truth, turn into fables. That's happening. I'm now ready to be offered. Time my departure's in. Fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Whoo, what a way to go out. Amen. And he's looking for his reward. I mean, there's just so many great things in that chapter. But because of all those great things, sometimes we read a little bit too quick and we miss some of the other things. Like verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he's departed. Others have departed. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's about as close to gossip as you're going to find the Apostle Paul right there. Of whom be thou aware also, because he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Can God make a road in the wilderness? Absolutely. Yes, He can. But as He prepares you for the table and the table for you, He's going to have to take you on a route you may not want to be on. But here's the third one. The route does not even matter as long as it is the Lord who is walking with you and strengthening you. Amen? I know that's simple, but it's also very, very profound. Because let's look at that for a moment. The aged apostle Paul is nearing the end of his ministry. He's aware of his impending passing. In his final moments of mortality, he is burdened by the fact that no one stood with him. All had forsaken him. And think about that with me in Bible study tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to imagine that Paul, the inspired writer of the scripture, the miracle worker, the expressive preacher of the gospel, the person who lived for God, inspired others to serve him, is in his last hours forsaken by all. I want to tell you, those moments are real. Those verses are in the Bible just like all the other ones. Amen? But there's a turn in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, the preaching of the gospel might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Oh, friend, listen, listen to me. You ought to be shouting on that one, Baptist. I don't think there's too many Jews here tonight. We're all Gentiles. If it hadn't been for that, we wouldn't be here. So I'm kind of thankful tonight that the Lord stood with him too, amen? To the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. It's the same with you. Your friends, maybe even some members of your family have walked away. Your spouse may have turned his back on you. But can I tell you tonight, the Lord stands with you. You may have been overlooked for an important job. You may have suffered some injustices in your life, but the Lord stands with you. It is He who is strengthening you. Oh, friend, listen to me. Paul sacrificed his life. He suffered bodily for the cause of Christ, and yet everybody had forsaken him. But listen, listen. Paul shows us how the Lord has always and ever shall be standing by his side, whether it's in life or death. Because Paul knew the secret of victorious living, and victory is being in the presence of God. Man, that is where it's at. He could say he had been lied about, but the Lord stood with him. He'd been in hunger, but the Lord stood with him. He'd been in pain, loneliness, weariness, but through it all, the Lord stood with him. Oh, my soul, there's so many scriptures that are going through my mind. I don't have time much to tell you about them. My time is almost gone, but let me just share this with you. In 2 Corinthians 4, pick it up in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen, amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Woo! That's good stuff, amen? That's some pretty good stuff right there. Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded. So you have to be persuaded. You have to be persuaded. You've got to choose joy. You've got to trust God, and you've got to choose joy, because it's not going to come naturally to you. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. And I've lived enough of life, ladies and gentlemen, to have experienced when things get messy in your life,
when things get messy in your family's life. How easy it is for some people to head to the hills. I mean, they're gone. But I want to remind you tonight in this Wednesday service, I serve a God who is not like that. Are you hearing me? Even when we are unfaithful, Timothy says, God is still faithful. He's still walking with us. He's still standing by us. And we're one prayer away from restitution and hope and a sense of the presence of God in our life. Amen? Because the Good Shepherd, oh, that reminds me. I'll give you one more here. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, this won't take long. You know this. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters, restores my soul. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There it is again. I don't know about you, Wednesday night crowd, Worth Baptist Church. Sometimes I just need to be reminded of my shepherd, my gentle Savior. I'm telling you, friend, all of us have wilderness wanderings. And our heart right now is in the Philippines with all of those people in the wilderness of generational poverty, never can get out. Know nothing but hopelessness for years and years. I'm telling you, there's something in my family's heart tonight that God is burning. You don't have to live like this. There is hope. My God is a miracle worker. You've got a plan and a purpose for your life. And we are going to help you get out by the power of God and by the provision of God. And you are going to see what I have seen. That He's a good, good Father. Amen? Oh, may God bless the preaching of His word tonight. I haven't even looked at the clock. I hope y'all aren't mad at me. Oh, gosh. Like I said, God just said start. I guess we ought to finish, though. Thank you. Thank you for your attention span. And thank you for your patience. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, I hope that you've heard the word tonight. I hope that you've thought about some things that I think you already knew. But in the push and shove, make a buck world in which we live, the chaos, the division, the danger, the rat race. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. And I pray it's been a help to you. And I hope it's been convicting and challenging and encouraging at the same time. I want us all to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't leave unless it's an emergency. I just want to give us tonight an opportunity to respond to what we've heard. Maybe you're in the middle of that wilderness tonight. I don't know what it is. Don't have to know what it is. But God's touched you about that. And tonight, maybe you just need to step out from where you are and come to this altar area, spend some time with God for just a moment. Thanking Him for walking with you and strengthening you.